Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5. And we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Social media trends bug me. And I think they mostly bug me when it comes to people my age. And I'm seeing, as I'm posting a tweet here, at Pregame Show 957, you can go to at Nice Guy Steven as well, 888-957-9570 if you want to hit up the Chilton Auto Body text line and join the program. But right now we got the social media trend of high school versus now, where you post a picture of yourself in high school and you post a picture of yourself right now. I am 27 years old, and a lot of people are posting their pictures of themselves back when they were in high school. It's cool when you got the older generation posting these things because high school was a totally different time. But for us, high school was 10 years ago. That's it. And really, a lot of people, no matter how much you think it, if you're a millennial, if you're around my age, you haven't changed that much, okay? Not much of a difference on that side-by-side photo. I wasn't planning on starting the show with that, but I figured I'd get there as soon as I saw a Twitter post about it. Good morning, everyone. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show. Sorry to start your morning off with a little skepticism there about the world, but that's just how it is, I guess. A little later on in the show today, yesterday we saw the Tip Your Cap campaign honoring the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Negro Leagues, and there are some pretty cool quotes that I got from Satchel Paige and some pretty awesome sound that I want to play a little later on in the show. It was him on the Dick Cavett show, which is one of the most underrated to me if we're going to be talking talk shows, because that's something you should go to every single time you want to kind of catch up on the classics. But I got some cool sound from Satchel Paige that I want to play for you a little later on. There's a gas station video that went viral where some woman didn't know that her gas tank was on the driver's side, and she thought that it was on the other side of the car, on the right side, on the front seat. So we're going to get to that sound because I want to play it under some music and see what it sounds like, because these two people that were narrating that video that went viral, it sounded like a play-by-play while having an analyst try and just... get to the bottom of what was happening. And I'm just going to say this now. Gas pump lady, we're with you. We've been there. We've all been there. We may be laughing at the video, but that's because everyone's laughing at their insecurity about how we've all been there. I'm going to play that a little later on, plus some milestones in baseball that are going to be reached this season. And I'm trying to ramp things up and kind of give just something to look forward to, because I understand a lot of baseball fans are down on the season. Well, I'm here to try and at least make something a little exciting for you. Last week, I did the top five players that you should watch, or the top five young guys who you may not know about who are going to be getting a chance on the field, who are going to be exciting to watch in the 60-game season. I gave that. And today, I just want to get to the milestones of some legends in this game who look to be some surefire Hall of Famers on this list. A couple aren't, but there are some surefire Hall of Famers on this list who are going to be reaching milestones of this year. But I did want to start out the show, as I've been doing a lot of this time since we started the pregame show back up last week. Again, 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the Chilton Auto Body text line. That's, of course, the phone number as well. But I've just wanted to give you some updates because there is no game to talk about. There's no post-game. I'm not going to talk about Crystal Palace and Burnley yesterday. I'm not going to talk about that. But there's a lot of the positivity, the positive rate of COVID, it's, you know, around 5% in basketball. And we're getting more and more updates every day about players getting tested positive for COVID. And a couple that are getting tested or that have gotten tested and that are opting out of the season. One is DeAndre Jordan. He's already opting out. And Spencer Dinwiddie, who's also of the Brooklyn Nets as well. He's decided he's still deciding whether or not to opt out of the season because he's feeling symptoms. So he doesn't know what he's going to do. So you're seeing that come around in the NBA. But yesterday, we officially had baseball players. They finally spoke out on this. And we got a couple of players who are opting out of the season. Arizona Diamondbacks right-hander Mike Leake is opting out of the 2020 season. His agent said in a statement on Monday he was the first MLB player to opt out. And then we had a couple of Nationals players, one of which, if I'm not mistaken, went to Bishop O'Dowd. And his name is Joe Ross, who's a pitcher, and Washington Nationals first baseman Ryan Zimmerman. They're both opting out of the 2020 season, delayed by the coronavirus pandemic, quote, for the personal health and safety of themselves and their loved ones. Here is a message from Ryan Zimmerman, quote, after a great deal of thought and given my family circumstances, three young children, including a newborn and a mother at high risk, I have decided not to participate in the 2020 season. Everyone knows how much it means to me to be a part of a team, and I will miss that camaraderie dearly this year. Of course, I would love to pursue back-to-back titles. I cannot speak for anyone else, but given the unusual nature of the season, this is the best decision for me and my family, and I truly appreciate the organization's understanding and support. To be clear, I am not retiring at this time. I have not decided on my future in baseball past 2020, but this year I'll be staying safe at home and pulling as hard as anyone for the guys to defend our championship. And Nationals GM Mike Rizzo issued a statement of support on Monday. Quote, Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross have decided not to participate in the 2020 season for the personal health and safety of themselves and their loved ones. We are 100% supportive of their decision to not play this year. We will miss their presence in the clubhouse and their contributions on the field. And there's... whenever we're talking about COVID-19 and players testing positive or players being scared to test positive, there was a post that went out yesterday of Brock Holt. He posted a nice family photo basically saying goodbye to them for the next few months. Is there anyone else like me? Sports are morally questionable in of themselves sometimes. You know, they do get paid a ton of money, but in the end, they get paid a lot of money so that we can be entertained and also we can say or think anything that we want to say or think about them. They get paid lots of money, so it doesn't matter what we say, but we can criticize them. We can go off about them on social media. We can say things about them, about their personality, about who they are when we don't even know them. And now we are putting them in these bubbles. Not with baseball, but with basketball, we're putting them in this bubble where they're going to be in close proximity of each other. Who knows what rules will be broken? I just, every time I read stuff like this, when I see that Spencer Dinwiddie is feeling symptoms after testing positive, he doesn't know whether to opt out or not because he has that burden to carry of, well, I got to be there for the team. I got to do this for the team. I got to do this for the fans. And then also you got DeAndre Jordan, who's just like, I'm done. I don't even want to play anymore. And I get that. But it's just, is anyone else going to feel guilty at all watching these sports? And I want to know from you, 888-957-9570 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. It's going to be a great escape when they come back. And you know, watching the Premier League for me is the first dose of sports that I've gotten in these 3 months. And I see that one player tested positive. I'm thinking, okay, this is proven that it's okay. It, you know, if you're getting one out of all the players after playing for this long, okay, then that's a number I'm willing to deal with. But when you're in the double digits already and we are heading toward that bubble, it just, and we don't even know if these other players have it, if they've possibly, you know, given it to someone else. I just, for me, as I'm reading this stuff, as it goes on, I'm just starting to feel a little more guilty about the fact that we're watching sports again. And we are putting them in these situations, which have been proven not to be as high of a risk as we thought, because, you know, the coronavirus doesn't seem to affect players that are in shape or people that are in shape and healthy, which a lot of these athletes are. So we're not too worried about it. And we're under the impression, like Adam Silver said, we're just going to have to live with this. But there's also a sense of guilt for me. I don't know about you. I'm not saying you have to feel guilty about watching it. I understand that. But for me, it's just there's certain feeling of, man, I mean, these guys are really being forced to do this right now. But that's just me. I want to know from you. 888-957-9570 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Or, of course, that is the phone number. But here's the quote from Spencer Dinwiddie of the Brooklyn Nets. Quote, over the past few months, I have been diligent about protecting myself and others from COVID-19 by following all designated protocol and quarantining. I was ready and prepared to join my teammates as we were to be an early entry team in the resumed season. I flew private to return to New York, passed multiple COVID-19 tests over my first several days in New York, and was able to participate in a couple of practices within the first week. Originally, we were supposed to be one of the teams that entered into the Orlando bubble early, but training camp got switched back to New York, and unfortunately, I am now positive. Given that I have experienced symptoms, including fever and chest tightness, it is unclear on whether or not I'll be able to participate in Orlando. And this is the one. Hindsight is 2020. Hindsight is 2020. So that's where we're at right now. We're still getting players that are going to test positive every day, and it's something that's going to happen, and it's something that, you know, we got to live with. But for me, it's just I feel slightly guilty about it. And here's another statement. This is from the National Hockey League. I mean, we're getting them from all over the place, but this is from the NHL. As of Monday, June 29th, the NHL has had in excess of 250 players report to club training practice facilities for optional participation in Phase 2 activities. There have been in excess of 1,450 COVID-19 tests administered to this group of players. Those tests have resulted in a total of 15 players returning confirmed positive tests for COVID-19. In addition, since June 8th, the opening of Phase 2, the league is aware of 11 additional players who have tested positive for COVID-19 outside of the Phase 2 protocol. All players who have tested positive have been self-isolated and are following CDC and Health Canada protocols. The NHL will continue to provide regular updates on the number of tests administered to players and the results of those tests. You know, and 15 out of 1,450 tests, I mean, that number seems pretty good, right? But to me, it's just, they're still at risk. It only takes one, right? For this to seriously affect somebody, we don't know. And getting sports back, I'm not going to try and, you know, poo-poo on what, I'm not trying to poo-poo on the season. But also, it's just, I wonder what would happen if it just one player and it just takes one and affects them in this negative way, instead of just like the statements we've been getting. Oh, I'm fine. It's okay. Been recovering well, doing all this. And then you get Rudy Gobert, who says, I've probably lost my sense of smell for a year. It's just a thought. Feeling a little more guilty as every day goes on. And unfortunately for me, and this is where I question my morality, I will watch the sports because I do miss them after all. And one, I guess I just need to, for me, I just really need to get sports going so that we can see how much of an effect it really does have on these players and the COVID-19 results. Because if these continue to pop up, and obviously we haven't gone into the bubbles yet or started the sports, but if this continues to pop up, it's just going to,
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Coming up next, want to talk about something really cool that the NBA is doing with their courts, but I do want to get to this Satchel Paige sound and some MLB milestones for the season, because this sound from Satchel Paige is something that you just wouldn't hear of from baseball players anymore. Plus, I got a pretty cool quote about his pitching arsenal, too, that I want you to hear. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
So smooth. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show with a little Anderson .Paak there. Am I wrong? Featuring Schoolboy Q. Highly recommend you listen to the song with the lyrics because it's fantastic. So yesterday was the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Negro Leagues, and I want to get some sound from Satchel Paige that was posted yesterday. There was a lot posted on social media surrounding the players and the stars, and we didn't get the stats, the official stats that we have now, so we can look back on players from, you know, the 70s and the 80s that we didn't watch, that we didn't grow up watching, but what was posted yesterday was just a lot of education, and there's some sound from Satchel Paige that I really want to play for you because they just don't make ball players like that anymore. They just don't, and I give him all the credit in the world. But Joe in Highway 24 wanted to weigh in on the last conversation I was having, and Chilton Autobody text line 888-957-9570. That's also the phone number. I was talking about just whether you'll feel guilty at all watching sports this upcoming season, as we've had finally some MLB players opt out because they're scared of over health risks. You're having basketball players, DeAndre Jordan from the Brooklyn Nets, opt out. You're going to have Spencer Dinwiddie, who's still waiting to decide whether he should opt out of the season or not, but he doesn't know because he doesn't want to leave his team or leave the Orlando bubble. So I just asked the question, if you're like me and sort of will feel guilty when watching sports when they come back. But Joe's on Highway 24. He wanted to weigh in. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Steve. Good morning. Hey, when you mentioned Satchel Paige, I remember reading a book, and they were talking about Josh Gibson and some people that made that distinct sound when the ball hit the bat, and one of the very distinct sounds was Josh Gibson. And I always thought, how many home runs would that man would have hit had he been given the right to play in the major leagues? You know, but you know, you said a few minutes ago about being entertained when it comes to sports, and I guess because of COVID, there's just no way I could allow sports entertainment. I just look at it as an economic situation with the way the country is and the way my family is personally. There's no way I'm going to be able to sit there, and I love baseball. I'm 56. I'm a diehard Oakland A's fan, you know, and they're going to be stacked this year. There's no way I'm going to be able to sit there and enjoy it. Not with the hardships my family's facing. You know, I think I told you a few minutes ago, we're looking at a $40,000 pay cut, my family. And it's just going to be hard. And it's not the player's fault. They got good at collective bargaining. It's going to be hard for me to watch a baseball player step up to the plate that's making $20,000 every time he's at going to the plate, especially during a pandemic. You know, it's just, there's no way I'm going to sit there and be able to watch sports, especially with no fans in the stands. I mean, it's just, no. Sports, we'll see in 21. You know, take the year off. Everybody, let the country heal. Let's all get better. You know, I look at the 12-year-old that was going to play in the majors this year. You know, he had his last season in the majors taken away. You know, I mean, it's just bigger than watching, you know, I can't just go on and on and on. I don't want to watch football with no fans in the stands. I don't want to watch tennis with no fans. I just don't want to watch sports right now. That's just where I'm at, you know. So thanks for letting me vent a little bit, Steve, you know. But you said being entertaining. And I just don't think sports is going to be able to do that for us right now. No, not when we're hurting.
I appreciate the call, Joe. And real quick, stay on the line because are you still there, right?
Yeah,
there's a quote about Josh Gibson that I read yesterday, and this is from Hall of Famer Monty Irvin. And the quote is, I played with Willie Mays and against Hank Aaron. They were tremendous players, but they were no Josh Gibson. So
no,
you know, there's these players when you read this stuff. I'm 27 years old. I'm not gonna, you know, understand what happened back in that time. But when I read quotes like that, it only leaves it up to imagination, and that's kind of sad.
Look where we're at right now in our country with what's going on with race, and these men were doing it way back then. Josh Gibson would have been one of the greatest ball players ever to play the game, period. You know, I mean, Willie Mays to me, I never got to see Willie play. I wish I would have. You know, to me, Willie Mays is the best baseball player that ever played the game. But he was given the opportunity to play the majors. Right. You know, so, you know, I coached youth sports for 18 years, and I used to tell kids to look up Josh Gibson as a homework assignment, you know, just to make them learn a little bit, you know. And, yeah, anyway, thanks for your time, Steve. That's just where I'm at. I just don't know how we should watch sports and get entertained when we got people getting sick all over the place. People are dying. The numbers are going up, and we're supposed to sit there and flip on channel, you know, 720 and say, hey, go Giants. Hey, go A's. Yeah, no, not happening. I'll see you there next year.
All right, yeah, Joe. I appreciate the phone call, man. Yeah, and I can get where fans are coming from with that, because, you know, real life has hit us hard. Reality has. And sports are a way to get away from real life. And, you know, some people like Joe, when they're watching sports this year, they won't be, it's not going to be a distraction. It's going to be just something that makes you think of what's going on right now. And I can understand that for some people. And me, I'm just, when I'm reading all this stuff about players testing positive, and I understand the positivity rate for the NBA with the 16 out of the 302 players or whatever it was that they tested earlier, I understand that that's a relatively low number. But, you know, and I understand also that it's kind of been proven that if you're like these basketball players and you're healthy and, you know, you're in shape, then it's probably not going to affect you. But also, I only think it's going to take one. I think it's going to take one. And from the 925 on the Chilled Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570, Anderson .Paak Trolls 2. Even for a Trolls 2 movie soundtrack, Anderson .Paak still kills it. Shout out to Justin Timberlake, too. But this sound I wanted to play from Satchel Paige, this was on the Dick Cavett Show, and this is a show that I've never watched, but I go back on YouTube and watch videos of people on his show all the time, and it's crazy who he's had on that show beforehand. But Satchel Paige was on there, and he talked about pitching every single day, including in doubleheaders. Take a listen to Satchel Paige.
I've been pitched every day. I pitched in 160 some ball games in a row. I did it for 3 years straight.
160?
Three.
Yeah.
Straight.
And there were legends that you pitched doubleheaders.
Yes, I did.
Which is unheard of.
And then, yes, I used to pitch doubleheaders. Then you play three games a day, a morning game, evening game, and a night game.
Once you pitched a no-hitter in Chicago, I believe, you drove all night to Pittsburgh. No, it was in Pittsburgh. Drove all night to Chicago. And then pitched a shutout in Chicago.
But they didn't tell you the little car I was in. They didn't tell you about that. My knees. I didn't ever see where I was going. I didn't know where I was going until I got there.
You didn't mean to go to Chicago.
It was sticking out, I think, back in those days, back in the 20s and on up until now, you know, with pitching. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped a couple of years ago, and they wanted to know how long was I going to pitch. Now, I didn't know. I just stopped because my wife told me to stop. I just pitched on. And 50 or 60 years didn't make no difference with me pitching. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. So I know some of them.
And when you think about that, when you think about how old he was and he just never stopped pitching, and you look back on, let's say, Nolan Ryan, right? And Robin Ventura charged the mound against Nolan Ryan, and Nolan Ryan put the guy in a headlock and punched him in the top of the head and got him to the ground until his other teammates, you know, came up and kind of stopped the fight. When you're looking at Nolan Ryan, you're thinking, he looks like an old man. How's that guy pitching on the mound right now? You don't see that too much nowadays. And I'm going to get to some baseball milestones coming up next, because we don't have as much time for it in the segment. But these are the older guys in the league. And it just doesn't seem like
It seems like they age pretty damn well. They don't look like old men out there on the mound. If you watch any of these old games, which I've been watching back, I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about. And but Satchel Paige, with he just had that gift of gab. And there's a player that I read about from the Negro Leagues, and his name was Cool Papa Bell. And what he was renowned for was his speed. No one ever saw it. Didn't get to the major leagues to showcase it. But some comparable major leaguers for him were Ichiro and Kenny Lofton. And Satchel Paige, thinking of the gift of gab, this is a quote about Cool Papa Bell, who was an outfielder, who was a speedy outfielder. And this is a quote. He said, "Once he hit a line drive right past my ear, I turned around and saw the ball hit his I turned around and saw the ball hit his ass sliding into second." And then that 100th anniversary, shout out to everyone with the involved in the Tip Your Cap campaign. I thought that was really cool with what they did. But here's another quote from Satchel Paige about his pitching arsenal that he had. "I got bloopers, loopers, and droppers. I got a jump ball, a B ball, a screw ball, a wobbly ball, a whipsy dipsy doo, a hurry up ball, a nothing ball, and a bat dodger. My B ball is a B ball because it be right where I want it, high and inside. It wiggles like a worm. Some I throw with my knuckles, some with my two fingers. My whipsy dipsy doo is a special fork ball I throw underhand and sidearm that slithers and sinks. I keep my thumb off the ball and use three fingers. The middle finger sticks up high, like a bent fork." you don't hear that too much anymore. You really don't. Okay, coming up next, want to get to these milestones in baseball. Last week, I did my top five young guys that you should be paying attention to for this season. And as the season goes on, I'm going to start watching it first. But, I think there is a tiny sense of guilt that creeps up into the back of my head. It's the same, morality question that you put into your head whenever you're watching football and you see a guy get hit. Love it at the moment, then you realize he has a concussion and you understand the long-term effects that come out of that. In the back of your mind, you're like, should I really be cheering for that? It creeps up into every sports fan's mind, in my opinion. And this one, I don't know if it'll creep up into my mind as the season rolls on with the 60 games, but there are milestones to pay attention to for some guys who have been legends in this era of baseball, in this generation of baseball, as we get ready for the new generation. That's coming up. And this video that went viral yesterday of a lady at the gas pump, it was as if the people holding the camera and filming it were doing play-by-play with a little analysis on the side of it. So I want to play some music under this sound and see if that actually works. That's all coming up next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Little gold link to start your morning off this morning. One thing that I didn't grab that I should have grabbed, and it was meant to be, for me, this was meant to be an instrumental from young Kurt, Curtis Denton Jr., who was who lost control of his car, got in a car crash, and died yesterday. And young Kurt, he was 27 years old, and he was a rapper from the Bay Area. And growing up in the Bay Area around high school, him being my age, he was super popular among people my grade. And I remember when his stuff came out, when he had the diss on D-Lo, used his own beat and destroyed him with it. And, it's a sad loss, man. It's a sad loss. So I just wanted to mention young Kurt before I get anything out of the way here. So rest in peace to young Kurt from the Bay Area, from Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. So wanted to get to this, though. Because in baseball and AAA 957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line. Of course, that's a phone number as well. From the 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, I'm going to watch sports and I won't feel guilty. And if just in case you're getting into your car for the first half hour, I was wondering, as I'm reading all this stuff, as I'm seeing baseball players starting to opt out of the season due to health concerns, I'm seeing basketball players don't know whether to opt out of the season, even though he's feeling symptoms, like Spencer Dinwiddie from the Brooklyn Nets. Teammate DeAndre Jordan decided to opt out anyway. Guys like Ian Desmond, who had an unbelievably thoughtful Instagram post, which I recommend that you go and read. I would read it for you, but it's about 8 pages long, and it would take up quite a bit of time here. And so I highly recommend that you go and read Ian Desmond of the Colorado Rockies, his post about why he's opting out for a variety of reasons, and what he's going to do in the meantime so that he can help his community that helped him grow up and get to where he is today. So I highly recommend that you go and read that Instagram post. I'll share it on Twitter at Pregame Show 957, along with this video of this woman at the gas pump, which is just making the rounds on Twitter. I'll get to that in a second as well. But there are some milestones in baseball that I wanted to get to, and they're going to be taking place this season. And I know there's not much to be excited about in terms of a 60-game season. I understand if you're a baseball fan and you just feel like the bickering between the owners and the players has kind of thrown you off and, you know, just basically made you quit the sport for a year, then that's fine. But there are some fans who want to watch this season, and we're splitting hairs on whether these records that they're going to break will count. You know, if a player gets a 400 batting average, do we put an asterisk next to it? Well, of course you do. The only hitting record that I could see where you are going to put or not put an asterisk next to it would be a hit streak. Some sort of hit streak that lasts, you know, halfway into the season. I'm thinking like a 30-game hit streak or something. That's what we take into account. But if you're, you know, home run record's obviously not going to be broken. And if somehow the amount of home runs that a player hits is equivalent to what would be 73 in a 162-game season, I feel like there's going to be some people making the case. Probably not going to happen, but it's just another possibility. But these milestones are actually real, something these guys have built up for their entire career and that they could reach this season. And a majority of them will be reached, which is pretty cool, I think. And a majority of them are with players who we have revered over the years. And Giants fans, you haven't revered this guy, but here are the milestones. Here are the list of them. This guy, not in the good graces of Giants fans, and I understand that. He was hurt a lot of the time that he was here, but he was given a 4-year, $64 million deal to come to the Giants after having the most saves in baseball for the two previous seasons. But Mark Melancon is going to reach 200 saves this year, and he's got 194 on the docket right now, so he only needs 6. Will that happen? I don't know. Will he be the closer for the Braves and get a few saves here and there? I don't know, but that's just another reachable milestone that's to come. That's just one that I had to get out the way because it's actually going to happen. But this one is pretty cool, and I think this is a guy that if you're an A's fan, then you will totally disparage anything that I'm about to say about this guy, but he's been one of, if not the best pitcher of this generation. He has been dominating for so long, and ever since he went to the Astros and kind of had a, not even a resurgence, just another emergence as a championship type of pitcher, Justin Verlander is about to reach 3,000 innings. He has 2,982 right now, and only Mark Burley and CeCe Sabathia have pitched as many as 3,000 since the turn of the century. Now, Justin Verlander, this is kind of a blessing in disguise that the season got held off this late, but he would have reached this milestone anyway. But he was supposed to start the season on the injured list with a strained lat and had surgery on his groin. However, he should be good to go by the time the season rolls around. So 18 more innings, and he can make it to 3,000 innings pitched. And that led me to looking at the baseball reference page of the amount of guys who are, you know, up there in innings pitched. Think about this. Justin Verlander, I mean, he's been in the league for years. 10+ years at least. I need to pull up his exact numbers. But if you look at Cy Young's innings pitched, he's had 7,000, as I just pull it up right now, and my computer just froze on me. He had over 7,000, oh, here it is, 7,356 innings pitched. Next up, 6,003 by Pud Galvin. Walter Johnson with 5,914. Phil Niekro with 5,404. Nolan Ryan with 5,386. Gaylord Perry with 5,350. These are the guys that you look at and you think when they're on the mound, that's an old man. Wow. How is he still out there pitching right now? Especially when you look at a guy like Phil Niekro, for sure. If you look back at the greatest knuckleballs of all time and you see Phil Niekro out there on the mound, like that's intense. But we look at Justin Verlander now as one of the old guys in the league. And he's only about to make it to 3,000 innings pitched. That's insane to me when I'm looking at all the difference in pitchers now. And I'm going to play the Satchel Paige sound again. I might as well while I'm here because I played the sound at about 5:25, around 20 minutes ago. And Satchel Paige was on the Dick Cavett show. And he mentioned about pitching every day. And here's Satchel Paige talking about that.
I pitched every day, every day. I pitched in 160-some ball games in a row. I did it for 3 years straight.
160?
Three.
Yeah.
Straight.
And there were legends that you pitched doubleheaders.
Yes, I did.
Which is unheard of.
And then, yes, I used to pitch doubleheaders. Then you play three games a day, a morning game, evening game, and a night game.
Once you pitched a no-hitter in Chicago, I believe. You drove all night to Pittsburgh. No, it was in Pittsburgh. Drove all night to Chicago and then pitched a shutout in Chicago.
But they didn't tell you the little car I was in. They didn't tell you about that. My knees, I didn't ever see where I was going. I didn't know where I was going until I got there.
You didn't mean to go to Chicago.
I was sticking out, I think, back in those days, back in the 20s and on up until now, you know, with pitching. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped a couple of years ago, and they wanted to know how long was I going to pitch. Now, I didn't know. I just stopped because my wife told me to stop. I just pitched on. 50, 60 years didn't make no difference with me pitching. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. So I know some of them fell.
Games in the morning, games in the afternoon, and games at night. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. And it's just unheard of nowadays. And I get it. There's a lot of health concerns, and Satchel Paige is a generational talent. But seeing this milestone that Justin Verlander could reach 3,000 pitches, it just opens your eyes to what baseball used to be. But also, I mean, Mark Burley and CeCe Sabathia were the only guys at the turn of the century to reach 3,000. So it's not like this is a new thing. And it's crazy that he's going to reach that. So I think that's going to be celebrated for sure. John Lester, he's going to reach 200 in wins. He's got 190. And talk about another turn-of-the-century record. He will become only the seventh pitcher to win 200 games in the 21st century. And John Lester, A's fans, you know him well. He is one of the most, I think, when you're looking back on baseball in 20 years and you're thinking of the legacy of these guys and you're thinking of, you know, the great pitchers in this era, I don't know if John Lester is going to be in that category. You know, I mean, you mentioned the CeCe Sabathias and the Mark Burleys, but quietly, John Lester, I mean, he's been doing his thing. So he's about to get to 200 wins, if possible. I mean, he needs 10 to do so. So this is the only one I could see possibly not making it. I mean, 10 wins in a 60-game season, is that'd be crazy. He'd probably have to win every single game. But 200 wins, even though the win has been devalued, it's way more about ERA now. Wins, I don't think, matter. It's more about, I think, quality starts and ERA and all the analytics that come along with it. But 200 wins is still something to give yourself a round of applause about. Shout out to Guru. And John Lester could reach that this year. Clayton Kershaw, he only needs 36 strikeouts in order to make it to 2,500. Only 10 other left-handers have ever hit that mark, and just 7 have done it since baseball lowered the mound in 1969. And Clayton Kershaw, you know, he hasn't performed in the playoffs like you'd expect a superstar pitcher to perform. You'd actually expect the Dodgers to have maybe won a World Series by now after winning the division 7 straight years. But he's been a strikeout machine, and he also has a newly revamped slider. His curveball was always his insanely deadly pitch, but now it's that slider that's getting him the Ks. And so he's going to reach 2,500 this year if he gets 36, and I'm going to think that he'll make it to that milestone. So shout out to Clayton Kershaw. Here's one for the Giants fans, and I'm going to say this. Giants, call him up. Get him up to the league right now. Billy Hamilton, 300 stolen bases. You know how many he's got? 299. If they don't bring Billy Hamilton up to get that 300th stolen base, same thing as Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac, in my opinion. Keeping him stuck at 2,999 while not getting 3,000 hits. Spoiler alert. Opens an ice cream truck at the end of it. It's great. Did what he wanted to do. But 300 stolen bases, and he has 299. But there are already 113 players in this particular club. But when he steals his 300th base, he'll become only the 17th player to do so since 2000. And to me, we talk about unbreakable records a lot. And I don't think that the stolen base record will ever be broken. And my big question is, will 300 base stolen base, will we have another player reach that milestone after Billy Hamilton? Because that's been what's kept Billy Hamilton going in his career, was his speed, being the quickest player on the field. And then Byron Buxton comes along from the Minnesota Twins, and he becomes the quickest player on the field. But Billy Hamilton could reach 300 stolen bases this year, even though he only needs one. So Giants, call him up. Farhan, big fan of what you're doing because of what you said to that Arizona politician. But you need to make sure that Billy Hamilton gets that 300 stolen base, because that's pretty crazy. Here's one for my favorite player, and I got about three more that I'm going to go through here. So far, we got Mark Melanson, who's going to reach 200 saves, Justin Verlander, who's going to reach 3,000 innings pitched, John Lester, who's going to could reach 200 wins, Clayton Kershaw, who's going to reach 2,500 strikeouts, Billy Hamilton, who could reach 300 stolen bases. I got three more of these milestones that I want to get to. But Mike Trout. Mike Trout is going to reach possibly 300 home runs, and he's at 285. He's going to reach 300. Like, that's eventually going to happen if it doesn't happen this year. But he had a WAR of up to 72.8 last season. That's the most ever for a player his age. And to put it in context, 300 home runs in his career possibly reached. Not even Hank Aaron had 300 home runs by his age 28 season. And Trout would join A-Rod as the only two players in history with 300 homers and 200 stolen bases at that age. And I don't think Mike Trout is going to go on an A-Rod path. I don't think that he's going to get blackballed from baseball, and then he's going to get into broadcasting. And while he's broadcasting, Netflix makes a documentary about how he cheated and gives you an entire synopsis coming from the doctor. Screwball on Netflix. Highly recommend you watch it. They put it in animation. I think it's the same guy who did The U and Cocaine Cowboys. But if you like, that's what's craziest to me about the A-Rod thing. I mean, 300 homers and 200 stolen bases before his age 28 season. A-Rod, the only player to do that, and what happened to his career later on. But there's a documentary made as he's coming back into the spotlight, and no one really seems to blink an eye. No one seems to blink an eye. It's crazy. All right, the next milestone, Miguel Cabrera could reach 1,700 RBIs. He has 1,694. Not even Jim Thome hit the 1,700 RBI mark throughout his Hall of Fame career. And of the 26 players who have, only Albert Pujols and David Ortiz did so in the 21st century. So 1,700 for Miguel Cabrera. And that is a guy who hasn't done it with that much style, with that much flair. The guy just goes out there and hits. That's what Miguel Cabrera does. And I hope we look back on baseball and the legacy of these players. And I talked about this about John Lester a little earlier. He did it quietly. But Miguel Cabrera has sort of done the same thing. But each player and each fan, they know about Miguel Cabrera and what he's done and what he's meant to baseball. Surefire Hall of Famer. but he's going to reach 1,700 this year, and only Albert Pujols and David Ortiz did so elusively in the 21st century. And the last one that I want to get to here, and this is one of my favorite players of all time, but it's Albert Pujols. 660 home runs and 2,086 RBIs is what he has to reach. Needs four more homers and 11 more RBIs. He has 2,075 right now, 656 homers. He's 40 years old, and that would tie him with Cap Anson for fourth all-time if he reaches that milestone with RBIs. And then he'll leapfrog A-Rod and be left looking up only at Ruth and Hank Aaron. So Albert Pujols could squeak his way to third all-time if he continues his career after this year. And he will move to fifth place all-time on the home run list. He needs only four to tie Willie Mays and five to pass him. So if he gets five, if he gets 660, that will pass Willie Mays all-time. So just a few milestones to look forward to. Miguel Cabrera, Albert Pujols, man. For the 925, Rajay Davis is the only active player in the top 100 career stolen bases. Number six sticks with 415. Ricky, the all-time leader with 1,406. Almost 500 more than number two, Lou Brock. It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And that stolen base record is never going to be broken. I don't know how when the next player is going to reach 300. I just don't know because it's just not a part of the game anymore. Maybe the game will change. The game will evolve to something new where they find a lot of value in stolen bases because they just want players who hit home runs nowadays. I wanted to do this before we ended the show, but there's a video that went viral. And this was of a lady at the gas pump, right? And the pump was on the right side of her car. Or excuse me, it was on the driver's side of her car, and she kept on thinking it was on the other side. And she was switching it up at this gas station, going to each pump, but staying on that that right side, even though it's on the driver's side. I did a horrible way of a horrible job of explaining it, but basically, she kept on going to the gas pump, thinking the tank was on the other side. And I wanted to put some music under it because the people narrating it sounded like they sounded like straight up play-by-play announcers. Here's Chariots of Fire with the gas pump viral video that's making its rounds on Twitter. Take a listen.
This is the second time she's done this. So she should now drive to the so that it's on the driver's side. The tank is on the driver's side.
The same side as her, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But she pulled a circle last time. No way is she going to do it again. Now she's going to back into the right. Yeah. Nope. She had it. If she would have... No. Oh, no.
Is she just going to the same...
No, she would have had to pull around... Oh, no.
Does she just not know which side the tank is on? Or does she think she's...
She knows. She has to know. She just saw that it's not on the passenger side. Okay, so she's pulled up again on the wrong side. Hang on.
Whoa, that person just whipped in there real quick like.
Hang on. Is she going to realize it? Does she see it? She walks right past the gas tank. Okay. So now she's got it. Now she's got it.
She has to.
So which one is she going to pull into? She'll pull around to
the other side.
Yeah, she'll go to the other side.
Or so, even this over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, she could back up. She could back up and get into it. What's she doing? She's pulling around. Okay.
Great. She's not.
Oh, no.
She did it again. No. There's no way.
No. No, she's pulling. Oh, this girl.
Oh, she's backing up. Maybe she didn't notice.
Nope, she's getting out of the car. She's getting out of the car. Oh, my gosh.
Should you go tell her she's going?
You want me? Should I go help her?
You might want to go help her.
Okay, hang on. No. No. Just go tell her to back up. Go tell her back up and go the other way. Just tell her.
Okay.
Did she wave at you?
Yeah, I said back up and go the other way, and she waved. So she heard me, I think.
Okay, we'll see if she gets it this time.
She's just going to back up.
No, no.
She's literally just going to back up.
No.
I said and go the other way.
What did...
Like, I pointed at the other...
But that doesn't make a difference what she just did. She's still backing up.
Yeah.
She's still backing up. Wait, there she is.
Yeah. Oh, maybe she did get it.
Okay, so now just turn a little bit. She's turning.
She's turning.
Oh, no.
She's stuck.
Okay. Okay. Pull in.
She do it?
She's doing it. Is she doing it?
She got it. She's getting out. Yay!
She got it. Okay, hang on. I want to go tell her congratulations.
Oh, man. I think that actually worked well. That was a total experiment, total radio experiment that I wanted to try. But we are with you, gas pump lady. I'm with you. I've done that. Done that plenty of times. And the fact that you persevered and kept on trying to find the right one, I mean, I would have left that gas station by the second time I did that. I would have been gone. So shout out to her. But that video is making the rounds on Twitter. If you scroll through all the people my age who think that there's a big difference in their high school photos compared to their photos now, you'll find this video. You'll find this video if you manage to scroll through all that high school versus now, blah, blah, blah. Tom Glavine, of course, Braves legend. He's going to be joining the guys at 7:30 and Michael Lombardi at 8:30. Thanks for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. on 95.7 again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.